चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड ध्यान योग। शनै शनै रूपरमे बुद्ध्या धृति गृहीतया आत्मसंस्थं मन कृत्वा न किंचिदपि चिन्तयेत्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। ग्रेजुअली स्टेप बाय स्टेप वन शुड बिकम सिचुएटेड इन ट्रांस बाय मीन्स ऑफ इंटेलिजेंस sustained by full conviction, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. Purport. By proper conviction and intelligence, one should gradually cease sense activities. This is called pratyahara. The mind, being controlled by conviction, meditation and cessation from the senses, should be situated in trance or samadhi. At that time, there is no longer any danger of becoming engaged in the material conception of life. In other words, although one is involved with matter as long as the material body exists, one should not think about sense gratification. One should think of no pleasure aside from the pleasure of the Supreme Self. This state is easily attained by directly practicing Krishna consciousness. ओम अज्ञानदिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। ग्रेजुअली स्टेप बाय स्टेप वन शुड बिकम सिचुएटेड इन ट्रांस बाय मीन्स ऑफ इंटेलिजेंस सस्टेन्ड बाय फुल कन्विक्शन एंड दस द माइंड शुड बी फिक्स्ड ऑन द सेल्फ अलोन एंड शुड थिंक ऑफ नथिंग एल्स। So here, Krishna is giving us an understanding of how we can attain success on the path of spirituality. He especially emphasizes the need of being fixed on the goal. The mind has to be fixed on the goal. That is required. That intensity is required. That willingness to dovetail one's complete energy in the direction of spiritual attainment, that is required. That eagerness is required. And when Krishna sees that, then he becomes eager to reciprocate also. Just like this month we are celebrating, this is Damodar month, and we offer lamb to Lord Damodar. Now why is Krishna called Damodar? Because this name indicates how Krishna was bound by a rope by Mother Yashoda. Now is it easy to bind the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He is the cause of all causes. Who can catch him? Who can bind him? But what was the qualification of Yashoda Mai? She was intense and focused on wanting to bind Krishna. She was actually inquisitive in one sense, and she was eager to know how much rope is required to bind this small child of mine. She was not going to give up. That intensity was there. And seeing that intense desire of Yashoda Mai, Krishna was willing to be bound by her. So similarly, on the path of spirituality, if we actually want to attain our destination, attain anything on the path of spirituality, we have to express intensity to one degree or the other. Otherwise it is not possible. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatha mam prapandyante tam tathaiva bhajamyaham. Mama vartman vartante manushya partha sarvasya. Krishna says, as one approaches me, I reciprocate accordingly. Krishna supposes he sees the intensity with which someone is approaching him, and accordingly he reciprocates. So if we are not expressing that intense desire or intensity in any area of devotional service, it is required, then there is meager chances of finding anything substantial on this path. That one has to understand. Prabhupada says tells the story of a dacoit. There was a dacoit who was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class. And in the course of the class, the speaker told that there is this Krishna in Vrindavan, and daily he goes out to herd his calves and cows, and he wears lot of precious ornaments on his body. So he was a dacoit who was hearing this class. He was one amongst the audience. So he thought a small boy wearing so many nice ornaments and going to the forest to herd the calves and the cows, so nice, I will go, and it is easy to take away ornaments from a small child. So he got this brilliant idea. So he got up from the class and inquired from other people, where is this Vrindavan? Show me the way to Vrindavan. And somehow it was thousands of miles away, and this dacoit somehow or the other, he was moving towards Vrindavan with the intense desire to steal ornaments from Krishna's body. He had that eagerness, that longing. So he travelled all the way to Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan he started searching through the forest. Where is this little boy whose name is Krishna, who has got a bluish complexion, who plays on a flute, and who herds cows in the forest wearing so many ornaments? So his mind was completely focused, fixed, intensely. And Krishna promises in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye yathamam prapadyante tam satavya tatayva bhajamyam. As you approach me, I reciprocate. Now, even though this person was a dacoit, still his qualification was he had that intense desire of wanting to see Krishna. He had that eagerness to want to meet him. And lo and behold, he saw a boy with a bluish complexion playing on a flute and with ornaments on his body. He actually saw Krishna. Why? What was his qualification? He was a dacoit. But his qualification was that intensity, that eagerness. That is the main qualification on the path of spirituality. That is required. There is another story of a Seth ji in Rajasthan. Now Seth ji means he was a rich merchant. So this rich merchant again was sitting in a Bhagavatam class in the Raja Govind ji temple in Jaipur. And during the course of the recitation, the Bhagavatam speaker made a point that Krishna is a supreme controller. He is the cause of all causes. So he is in charge of everything. Every minute detail of the creation, he is in complete control. So if Krishna wants you not to eat, even though you want to eat, but if Krishna doesn't sanction, you cannot eat. He made this point. And he also made the point that even if you don't want to eat, but if Krishna wants you to eat, then you have to eat. That is the supreme control of Lord Shri Krishna. He is the sanctioner. We can desire, but unless that desire is sanctioned by the Supreme Lord, that desire cannot be fulfilled. This was the point he was making. So Sethji He was an intense person. So he felt, how is this possible? Now the first part makes sense. That is, if you want to eat, but if Krishna doesn't want you to eat, then you won't get food. That makes sense, because Krishna may not supply you food. But part two doesn't make sense to me, he was thinking. Suppose I don't want to eat, how can Krishna force me to eat? That is not possible, he thought. So he thought, he was not a person to leave it at that stage. He was intense. He wanted to testify. Is it really true or not? He had that eagerness to verify that statement. So he thought, okay, tomorrow I am going to fast. Let's see if Krishna can force me to eat. So the next day morning, Sethji's wife prepared nice breakfast. And she requested Sethji that, please, take this food. Breakfast is ready. So Sethji said, I don't want to eat today. I'm going to fast today. She said, today is not a fasting day. Why do you want to fast? He didn't want to disclose. He wanted to keep a secret that he wanted to test whether Krishna can force him to eat or not. So he told, that's okay. And he thought, Sethji thought that, you know, if I stay at home, if not Krishna, my wife might force me to eat. So he left home. And he thought, I'll go to the forest alone, so that nobody can force me to eat today. I'll fast for the entire day. So he went to the forest. And he, in the middle of the forest, he found a tree. And he climbed on the tree and sat on top of the tree, waiting for time to pass, so that the whole day will pass and he'll continue to fast. He wanted to see if Krishna can really force him to eat today. Let me see, he was thinking. So I will sit on the branch of the tree till night and then I'll go back home. And then I'll be convinced that what the speaker said was wrong. That was his idea. So he sat on the tree and he was feeling very hungry. It was noon time and slowly his determination was coming down. But then again he became intense. No, no, no. I cannot give up so easily. I have to be determined. So he continued his fast. He was feeling very hungry, but he tolerated the hunger, and with an intense desire to testify that statement, with that determination, he continued on and on and on and on. And then it was evening. And he thought, just a few hours more, and then that's it. The fast is over. And during dusk, suddenly he heard some noise. He heard the noise of many people coming. And then he saw a band of dacoits passing through the forest. So as the band of dacoits were passing through that tree on which Sethji was sitting, the dacoits started discussing amongst themselves. So we have looted a lot of money today. So let us keep this money on the side. But we have also got a lot of nice foodstuffs. So let us sit beneath this tree and eat food before we proceed ahead. So beneath the tree, they spread out all the food they had brought. Very delicious foodstuffs were there. And they started eating slowly. And Sethji was sitting on top of the tree. And he could see all that food. And he could smell all that food. And he was feeling that, now, I think I should eat little. Such nice food is available right here. So his determination started going down. But then again he decided, no, just a few hours more. I have to be determined. So he maintained his determination and he kept sitting. And these dacoits, they were eating nice foodstuffs of various varieties. All those foodstuffs were Sethji's favorites also. But he wouldn't give up. That was his determination. That was his intensity. Of course, it was a little misdirected spirituality. He wanted to test Krishna himself. But nonetheless, there was some intensity in the direction of spirituality. That is required to obtain any success on the path of spirituality. Some intensity is required in connection with Krishna. So then, suddenly, there was the roar of a lion. Many lions. And hearing that roar, the dacoits, they thought the lions are coming here, and out of fear, they ran away. So the ornaments were there, the food was there, but all the dacoits ran away. Now the temptation of Sethji increased. Even if I eat, nobody is there to watch me. But then he thought, no, Krishna must be watching. So I should not eat. So after some time, he could hear some more noise. Now beneath the tree, ornaments are there. All the booty of the dacoits is there. The food is there. And now from a distance, he is hearing the noise of another group of dacoits approaching that place. And as the dacoits were passing to the tree, they started discussing with each other. They saw the ornaments, they saw the food, and they started discussing amongst each other. That it seems that our rival dacoit group must have been around some time ago. And it seems that they have kept these ornaments, our rival dacoit group has kept these ornaments to allure us. And they have kept this food also to allure us. Maybe this food is poisoned. And they have kept this food so that we will eat this food and all of us will die. And then there won't be any rivals for them to loot the city. So they want to kill our group, so they have kept this food here. And we are sure that this food is poisoned. And all the gangsters, they agreed. Otherwise, why will food be kept here in the middle of the forest? Definitely this food must have been kept by a rebel dacoit group. So one of the dacoits in that group, he gave the idea that if the rival dacoit group has kept this food here, then definitely one amongst the rival group must be sitting somewhere around just to see what will happen to the food, whether we will really eat the food or not. So one of them must be sitting somewhere just to keep a watch. So they started searching just to see if some person was watching over the food, watching over the ornaments, and watching over the whole scene. And suddenly they saw on top of the same tree, the dhoti of Sethji. Oh, here is some person sitting. Looks like someone from the rival dacoit party. Bring him down. So all the dacoits brought the Sethji down. And Sethji is crying, please leave me alone. Please leave me alone. But they wouldn't leave him alone. And then they told Sethji, we know who you are. You are the person from the rival dacoit party and you have kept all this food here and you want to just see whether we will eat the food and die or not, isn't it? He said, no, no. I am not a person from any dacoit party. I am a simple sethji from Jaipur. And they wouldn't agree. So the dacoits challenged them. If what you are speaking is the truth, then you eat this food. If this food is not poisoned by you, then you eat this food. Sethji said, no, I cannot eat the food. So the dacoit said, Why you don't want to eat the food? Because you have poisoned the food. Sethji said, no, I have not poisoned the food, but I don't want to eat the food. So the dacoit said, this is illogical. If the food is not poisoned, then why don't you simply eat it? Eat little. We are not telling you to eat everything. Eat a little, so that we can test whether the food is poisoned or not. Sethji said, no, I cannot eat the food. And the dacoits were convinced that this person is a culprit and he has definitely poisoned the food. So what they did? Two persons caught Sethji's legs. Two persons caught Sethji's arms. One person opened Sethji's mouth. Another fellow put food inside Sethji's mouth. And then they forced him to chew the food and swallow the food also. They waited for some time. Nothing happened to Sethji, but Sethji started crying. And then they let him go. And then Sethji came back to Jaipur, came to the temple of Radha Govindaji, offered his obeisances to the Supreme Lord, and told the Supreme Lord, yes, my Lord, I am convinced you are the Supreme Controller. If you don't want someone to fast, then that person cannot fast. I am convinced today. Now, Sethji, in one day, he actually realized the truth that Krishna is the Supreme Controller. Isn't it? He is the cause of all causes. He is the Supreme Controller. He is in control of every minute detail of the creation. He was convinced in one day. Why? Because of his intensity. Because of his intense desires. Because of his eagerness. That is the price of proceeding further on the path of spirituality. That intensity is required in connection with Krishna. That is required. Somehow, some connection with Krishna, an intense correct connection with Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Akama sarva kamova moksha kam udaradi Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushapparam. Now in this world there are various categories of people. Akama. Akama means that category of people who have no desires to obtain anything in this material world. They have no desire to attain wealth. They have no desire to enjoy anything of this material world. They are simply interested in spiritual enjoyment. They are called akama. Then sarva kamova, this is second category. Sarva kamova means that category of people who have got the desire to enjoy even the things of this material world. They might also have the desire to experience spiritual enjoyment, but in addition, they also have the desire to enjoy the things of this material world. That is sarva kamova. And then moksha kama. There are certain category of people who are only interested in liberation. Moksha kama, udaradi. But the Srimad Bhagavatam recommends that you might be belonging to any of these categories. The first category is people who have only desired to enjoy spiritual bliss. And second category is people who have interest of attaining spiritual bliss and also material happiness. And third category, they simply want liberation. And the Srimad Bhagavatam says, whatever category you might belong to, what is to be done? Tivrena bhakti yogena. One has to connect with Krishna Bhakti Yoga is the process of connecting with the Supreme Lord Krishna. So, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, one has to intensely try to connect with Krishna. That is required. And if that is done, then one will taste spirituality. Then he will find something substantial on the path of spirituality. If that intensity is there. But without that intensity, it is difficult. In the Shastras, we hear the example of Shishupal. Now this Shishupal, he was the cousin of Krishna. He was Krishna's contemporary 5000 years ago. This Shishupal, from his very birth, he was an enemy of Krishna. Small children, when they start talking, you know, they are unclear in their talk initially. They speak something and only the parents understand many times. And the parents are very happy. But someone, the relatives or the visitors, they cannot make out anything of what the child is speaking. It all seems to be the same. Only the parents can understand what the child is speaking and they relish it also. So that is called, you know, initial talk. Kalabhashinam, it is said in Sanskrit. That totally bhasha, it can be said in Hindi. That talk. Now this Shishupal, when he started talking, he was not even clear in his speech. The first words he started speaking in his unclear vocabulary was blasphemy of Krishna. Speaking ill of Krishna. That is how he started talking. That was the intensity of his enmity towards Krishna. So seeing his nature, his mother, she became fearful that this person is such a rascal, my child. And the only thing he knows is to speak ill of Krishna, to criticize Krishna, to speak against Krishna, and surely he'll be killed by Krishna. So she requested Krishna, because she was the aunt of Krishna. Shishupal's mother was the aunt of Krishna. So she requested Krishna, Krishna, please don't kill my son. Krishna said, okay, he can speak whatever he wants against me, I don't mind. As long as the count doesn't exceed 100. At a stretch, if he speaks ill about me more than 100, then I'll kill him. So Shishupal knew this secret. He knew his secret. He knew his balance. You know, in mobile you have got balance. How much balance is left? Someone is careful while speaking. So much balance is left. Now the phone will get cut, you know. So they will finish off the talk before the phone gets cut. Before the balance is over. So similarly, Shishupal used to keep track of his balance. 100, 99, 98, 97, 96. So go on speaking ill about Krishna, and when the balance should be just 1 or 2, he used to control himself. And then his life would be spared. And next time he used to recharge himself, again 200, and again start speaking ill about Krishna. So in this way, all his life was spent. For him, recharge was like this. That was his way of life. But then what happened, Yudhishthir Maharaj conducted the great Rajasuya sacrifice. A very, very prestigious event. A very prestigious event. It's like in today's times, it's very prestigious to host the Olympics. Different nations, they want to host the Olympics in their country. It's a very prestigious thing. So similarly, In those times, there was this Rajasuya sacrifice. A horse used to be sent all around the world. And when the horse returned, that signified that all the kings were subordinate to the emperor who had conducted the sacrifice. So Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was a person who was conducting, was about to conduct this most prestigious Rajasuya Yajna. And he had invited people from all around the world for this Yajna. And when the Yajna was about to begin, there is something called the Agra Puja. Just like in Olympics you have, you know, the torch is lit. That signifies the beginning of the Olympics. And who lit the torch? Someone very prestigious, not me and you. Someone like me and you, we go and tell that I want to lit the torch. They won't allow us. Some very well-known personality who has made his mark in the field of sports, he leads the Olympic torch. Very prestigious event within the Olympics. So similarly, Rajasuya Yajna, very prestigious ceremony, and his Agra Puja is like beginning of the ceremony, and his Agra Puja, the first worship, is to be given to a very, very powerful and prestigious person. And who is going to be the prestigious and powerful person who is going to receive this Agra Puja? That was a $1 million question. So they were discussing amongst themselves, who is qualified? Who is that fit person to receive this Agra Puja? And there was intense discussion among Kshatriyas, because all of them were powerful people. But then unanimously they came to a decision. It is Krishna and Krishna alone who is eligible to receive the Agra Puja. And so Krishna was brought forth to receive the first worship, which was the most prestigious event in the Rajasuya Yajna ceremony. And Shishupal was also there. So as soon as Shishupal saw that Krishna is going to be given the honor of Agra Puja, he lost control. And as was his nature, he started speaking ill about Krishna. He went on speaking. And that day he was very, very intense. He became very emotional also. Just like when we become very emotional and when all our sentiments are involved while speaking on a mobile phone, we forget our balance. That the balance is going to get over, how much money is spent, we lose track. And we go on speaking. Later on we realize that all the balance is over. So similarly on that day, Shishupal was so intense, became so emotional and he was so disturbed. How can Krishna be given Agra Puja? So he went on speaking ill about Krishna. He lost track and he crossed 100. And Krishna, immediately he took the Sudarshan disc and cut off Shishupal's head. But that was not the end of the story. The most exciting thing that happened was, before everyone's eyes, the spirit soul of Shishupal came out of his body and entered into Krishna's form. He attained Sayujya Mukti. And seeing this, Yudhishthira Maharaj was terribly confused. So he approached Narada Muni and asked him, this Shishupal, his whole life, he spoke ill about Krishna from his very childhood. And the way he died also was speaking ill about Krishna. How is it that he has attained liberation? Narad Muni replied, that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. any way you connect with Krishna, you get the results, provided there is intensity. Now Shishupal, he had enmity towards Krishna. It is not recommended that we become enemies of the Supreme Lord. But nonetheless, Shishupal was the enemy of Krishna, but his enmity was intense. Intense enmity. Always looking for an opportunity to speak ill about Krishna, to find fault with Krishna, to put down Krishna. That was the intensity of his connection with Krishna, even though it was in the mood of enmity. So Narad Muni told Yudhishthir Maharaj, this is the secret of spirituality. Not that we become enemies of the Supreme Lord, but the point to be understood is intensity. On the path of spirituality, when we have to connect with Krishna, unless that connection is intense, unless we try to be intense in some aspect of spiritual life, it is extremely difficult to find anything substantial coming out of the path of spirituality. In today's world, many times people feel that spirituality doesn't work. Why it doesn't work, or why it doesn't seem to work? Because there is no intensity. Now what to speak of spirituality? Any field of life, unless there is intensity, one cannot attain anything substantial. Not possible. Now in the field of medicine, I was surprised, because I am coming from engineering field. What I heard, I was surprised that once a person clears his MBBS, and then if he wants to go to post-graduation in the field of medicine, some of the hot fields like orthopedics, it is considered to be the top branches in the field of medicine. Now, what degree of intensity is expected of them? I couldn't believe. They sleep only 2 hours. And 7 days a week. No question of holiday. 2 hours at a stretch, and little bit of sleep here and there, 5 minutes, 10 minutes throughout the day. And this goes on for 6 months at a stretch. How can a person sustain himself? But the desire that pushes one forward, and unless one expresses that desire, unless one expresses that intensity in that field, one cannot attain success. All this to become a postgraduate in the field of medicine. It's a big attainment, no doubt. But spirituality is something which takes us beyond the material realm. Things that might seem only theoretical right now becomes a reality on the path of spirituality. Things like eternal bliss, unending bliss. That is what one can attain on the path of spirituality. Eternal. Is there any happiness in this world which we have experienced which is eternal? Every kind of happiness has a beginning and an end in this world. And every kind of happiness has got a limit. It is not unlimited. But what we can get on the path of spirituality is happiness that is unending and also unlimited. So to attain that, is it so simple? Not so simple. At the same time, simple also. How is it simple? Only one qualification is required. One has to try to put his heart into some aspect of spiritual life. One has to try to become intense and focused on some aspect of spirituality. One has to try to intensify his connection with Krishna somehow. And seeing that intensity, Krishna reciprocates in different ways, which helps us proceed further. Now it is not that the Supreme Lord has left it vague at that. One can express that intensity of wanting to connect with Krishna in various ways. And the easiest way is chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now it is said in the Kali Santaran Upanishad, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Iti Shodashaka Nam Nam Kal Kalmashanashanam Nataro Parataro Paya Sarva Vedesh Drishyate. It is said that the conclusive truth of all the Vedic literatures is that simply by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can proceed smoothly ahead on the path of spiritual life. One can easily go ahead on the path of spiritual life simply by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So what one can do is try to practice chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with intensity. And what does this intensity signify? That every day we chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without fail. You are speaking about Sethji. The Sethji, his qualification was, his determination used to go down, but he used to intensify his determination as and when he saw that his intensity of determination was going down. And what was the result? In one day, he realized that Krishna is a supreme controller. So the Shastras promises that with intense determination, if you practice chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day without fail, one can practice. There is Japamala which has 108 beats. So one can decide to oneself that definitely I am going to chant 4 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra daily. Now that takes around half an hour every day. I am going to spend half an hour, that is, I'll chant 4 malas, 4 into 108. I'll chant 4 into 108 Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day without fail. What come may? Hell or high water, as it is said. I'm going to chant. So that is intensity. That is intensity. And so much intensity is sufficient. We need not fast like Sethji. So much is not required. All you have to do is chant. With determination, that fixed number of rounds, every day I am going to chant without fail. And if only we do it with intensity, that means daily we chant without fail, then definitely there is no doubt about it that we will start seeing the results. We will find something substantial happening on the path of spirituality in a very short time. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. That intensity. And while chanting, it is very simple. All one has to do is focus on the sound vibration of the mantra. Mantra means the sound vibration which has the potency to transform mind. Man. From man comes the word mantra. That which has the potency to influence the mind, that is mantra. So that the mind is influenced, what one has to do is simply focus one's attention on the sound vibration while chanting the mantra. It has to be chanted loud enough that one can hear the mantra. And every word of the mantra has to be heard carefully. That is also intensity. That intensity is also required. Because the mind will wander here and there. But someone who is intense, he will bring back the mind on the mantra and express his intense desire to progress on the spiritual path. So with that intensity of focus on the mantra, if we chant a fixed number of rounds every day, then seeing that intensity, Krishna will definitely help us proceed ahead on the path of spirituality. And we'll start things, seeing things happen. Now why many people are not so interested in spiritual path? Because they feel that I cannot see anything happening. There should be something happening. Now why nothing is happening? Because there is no intensity. But if only we could be intense in the right way to proceed on the path of spirituality, we will start seeing things happening. And then when you start seeing things happening, then spirituality is no more a boring experience. It's exciting. Now, why nowadays the number of overs in a cricket tournament is going down? Earlier, they used to play 5-day test matches. Now, 5-day test matches means you don't see things happening. The batsman is at the same place over after over. Hardly any movement seen on the field. So you don't see things happening, so it becomes boring. So then the one day international. So then you see some movement. No? Fielders are running around. Batsman is in anxiety. Umpire is also in anxiety. The viewers are also in anxiety. Third umpire. Everyone is in anxiety. So there are things happening. So it is no more boring. But now there are 20-20. Things happen even faster now. And when things are happening all the time, you cannot even see the ball where it is. Sometimes it is beyond the boundary, somewhere. Sometimes it is on the wicket, and so fast. It becomes very exciting. And people love it. So similarly, for that excitement to come in the field of spirituality, things has to happen even on the spiritual path. When things start happening on the spiritual path, there is excitement. Then it is no more boring. It becomes very interesting. But for things to happen, there has to be intensity. There has to be intensity. One has to be focused with determination. Yes, I'm going to do this for Krishna, no matter what. I'm going to chant so many rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra daily, no matter what. So when that intensity is there, things start happening. And when things start happening, it is no longer boring. It is wonderful, it's exciting. And spirituality is enjoyable. Like that. So, that is the message Krishna is giving in this particular verse today. That one has to be focused on the spiritual path. It's already 8:50, we don't have time for question and answers. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.